This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Noel Lim in the studio this morning. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Dr. Helmi Haja Maidin, internal medicine specialist at Pantai Hospital KL, on the state of vaccine hesitancy in Malaysia. We're also running a poll on Twitter right now. What do you think would be most effective to reduce vaccine hesitancy amongst Malaysians? Let us know over on Twitter at BFM Radio. In the meantime, though, let's talk about Myanmar refugees.
Right, so the legal saga over the deportation of 1,200 Myanmar nationals is far from over. On Tuesday, the Immigration Department said that over 1,000 Burmese undocumented migrants were deported on three Myanmar Navy ships. This was despite a court order to stay the deportation. So this is also pending an application for judicial review by human rights group Amnesty and Asylum Access. So the KL High Court, as we know, had actually extended this stay order on the deportation, but yet 1,000 people were deported. So I think we want to find out what is really happening and what are the, you know, the legal implications here.
Yeah, the facts of the deportation are unclear. The lawyer representing the government told the High Court that the Myanmar nationals had been handed over to the Myanmar Navy at 7:30 a.m. while the court order was issued at 1:20 p.m. the same day. The government is also arguing that the human rights groups do not have standing to file a judicial review against the deportation. The High Court has said that it will first decide on the application for leave for judicial review before deciding whether to ask for an explanation on the deportation move on Wednesday. And they will hear the case on March 9th. For a reaction to the developments and a perspective of Malaysia's policy towards refugees and asylum seekers, we have on the line with us lawyer Dato Sri M. Ramachelvam, who is also the co-chairperson of the Bar Council Migrants, Refugees and Immigration Affairs Committee. Good morning, Dr. Sri. Thanks for joining us this morning. Now, as we mentioned, the Immigration Department deported over 1,000 Myanmar nationals on Tuesday, despite the stay despite a court order to stay the deportation until another hearing on Wednesday morning. Can government agencies act against court orders in this manner, or are there accepted justifications for doing so?
Obviously, government agencies, like everyone else, should and must comply with court orders. In the instant case, the court order granted by the court was a stay order, which basically means that status quo should be maintained until the court makes a further order. The action in deporting the Myanmar nationals in spite of the stay order basically means that the government did not comply with the court order to maintain the status quo. That is that the Myanmar nationals should not be deported pending further determination or order from the court. As regards justification for non-compliance, I do not see any justification for non-compliance. The authorities, in this case, the Director General of Immigration, would have been aware of the stay order as they were represented at the court proceedings by the Attorney General's Chambers. Therefore, it is imperative for the government to state its position why the stay order was not complied with. The rule of law applies equally to everyone, including the government.
Perhaps this situation was a miscommunication or misunderstanding, but what usually happens when government agencies act against court orders?
When a government or government agencies do not comply with court orders, there are several avenues open to ensure compliance. The remedies that are available against government officials includes the remedy of taking contempt proceedings. If the officials, be it the minister or department heads or particular officials, do not comply with court orders and flagrantly disregard court orders directing them to do or abstain from doing something, then committal proceedings can be taken. However, the institution of contempt proceedings involves the court granting leave for the institution of the contempt proceedings. Thereafter, the court would have to make a finding whether there was contempt or otherwise. So basically what the situation is, there are avenues to ensure compliance, and committal proceedings for contempt is one of those avenues.
Okay, let's shift our focus for a bit onto the migrants who are detained. Can you walk us through what happens when an undocumented migrant is detained and what is the process resulting in deportation?
Okay, as far as undocumented migrants are concerned, there are two categories of undocumented migrants. One, those who are purely undocumented in the sense that they have come in through irregular channels. There are others who have come in through regular channels and who have become undocumented for a myriad of reasons. Permits have expired, employers have not taken out work permits, and so on and so forth. And therefore, they become undocumented. So basically, once if you are an undocumented person in Malaysia, you would be liable to be arrested. After being arrested, you'll be liable to be detained up to 14 days. Thereafter, the undocumented migrant will be charged in court if he's undocumented. If he pleads guilty, he'll be sentenced to a fine or imprisonment or both, according to the charge. He can, of course, challenge the detention. If he's able to prove that he's legally staying, he's a documented migrant, then obviously he would be released. But often, so often, what happens is most of these undocumented migrants plead guilty, and thereafter they would be sentenced. As I said, after serving sentence, it will be normally a sentence of imprisonment. Sometimes a sentence of fine is also imposed, depending on the section of the Immigration Act. They are thereafter sent to the immigration depot awaiting deportation. A further thing that happens to these undocumented migrants is that they would normally be also blacklisted by the immigration authorities from re-entering Malaysia for a period of time.
Malaysia does not recognize asylum seekers and refugees, but we do allow them to be registered with the UNHCR. How are these registrations carried out?
As you have correctly noted, Malaysia is not a signatory to the Refugee Convention and the protocols there too. However, Malaysia hosts UNHCR and they carry out refugee status determination and other protection measures for the refugees and asylum seekers in Malaysia. The refugee status determination process that's carried out by UNHCR is a rather vigorous and stringent process based on international standards. So after that, a person, if he is granted refugee status, then they are recognized as refugees and given a card, which is popularly known as the UNHCR card. Those who do not qualify are rejected. Presently, the Malaysian government has a de facto policy of recognition of those who have been granted refugee status in that they are not arrested or deported. Further, there are certain other policies in Malaysia, that is, refugees are allowed to work in the informal sectors of the economy. They are also given a 50% discount on the medical fees chargeable on the foreigners' rate in Malaysia. So what we have is a de facto policy of recognizing refugees, but we do not have an official comprehensive policy vis-a-vis the refugees in our country.
I guess, are there alternatives to deportation then? Is there any process that allows for the release of undocumented migrants to Malaysia or to a third country?
There are, of course, alternatives to detention. Internationally, there are several best practices, for instance, reporting obligations, residence requirements, obligation to surrender passport, release on bail, electronic monitoring, guarantor requirements, release under care workers, and so on and so forth. But in Malaysia, we have no such policy. We have no alternatives to detention. Our only solution is the arrest and detention process that we have. Let me look at several issues here. One is on the issue of refugees. The durable solutions internationally has been voluntary repatriation, local reintegration, and resettlement. In Malaysia, our official policy is for resettlement to third countries. We have a policy of not granting citizenship or permanent residence to refugees in our country. As far as undocumented migrants, as I said earlier, the program is very simple. It is to arrest, charge, imprison, and deport.
So what reforms should the government consider with regard to the way it treats asylum seekers and refugees?
The best alternative to resolve the whole problem of undocumented migrants in our country is to have a comprehensive amnesty and regularization program for all undocumented migrants in Malaysia. As you're aware, the estimates range anywhere from 2 to 4, 5 million undocumented migrants. The government has come up with a good start with the recalibration exercise. However, this recalibration exercise is limited in scope, and therefore the outcome will be limited. What the government must do immediately to resolve the issue of undocumented migrants on an urgent basis is to come up with a comprehensive amnesty and regularization program. That is the only way forward.
Thank you for joining us on the line this morning. That was lawyer Dattasri M. Ramachelvam, co-chairperson of the Bar Council Migrants, Refugee and Immigration Affairs Committee, breaking down the situation from his perspective there. And obviously, there was a lot of news around this yesterday, and the timeline still remains in question, of course. But I think the focus here, we pivoted over to essentially the policy nature of the situation, right? Because this is an ongoing and has been an ongoing debate and conversation for some time now.
Yeah. So provisions for refugees can be made to live in Malaysia if they hold a UNHCR card. But in reality, you know, life is very difficult for them. They cannot get a proper job. They have no employment protection. I don't think they can even open a bank account. But now with the e-wallet system, that's one way to get around that. They can't go to proper schools but unless, you know, they rely on charity of Malaysians.
And if you want to learn more, we had another conversation around this with Thomas Daniel Fellow in the Foreign Policy and Security Studies Program at ISIS Malaysia. The title of that podcast was "To Deport or Not." Right now, we're going into a few messages, and up next, the cold snap that crippled Texas energy infrastructure last week put a spotlight on the dire state of U.S. infrastructure. What is the Biden administration going to do about it? Find out in just a little bit. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.